What think generally industry would be exposed to it?
We're doing a lot of this.
Steve might want to tie. I would assume the industry would be exposed to it.
Is it your intention to propose that as an amendment?
Yeah, I would propose the $214,000 be added to lease sales. In the oil and gas industry.
Anybody? There is the question. All those in favor, raise your right hand. Aye. Motion carried.
Are there any other pages open? There aren't, are there?
Is there anything else open on this one? Would you care to make a motion to give this an offer of hands, Superintendent Smith?
We have to move that the budget be accepted by the finance committee. I so move.
Is there objection? Hearing none, it's so ordered. Did we have anything else scheduled for this afternoon?
Mr. Chairman?
Everything on the unitization ad, and we'll have to open that section of the general government budget. There's $43,000.
We're going to delete the account.
That's the one you want to delete?
Yeah, not the economist account.
Oh, okay, then that solves the problem.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, in the social services budget, which is my budget, we approved an item for adventure-based education, which is the program to try to deinstitutionalize kids and get them out into some other kind of environment. And the legislative intent was we contract with Alaska Pacific University. And there's a person that's been working on this project, and unfortunately we can't contract with Alaska Pacific University because the institution has religious ties, and it would violate the Constitution. I talked with the chairman earlier today about changing that intent, and if you don't mind, I'd like to move that instead we contract with the Bering Straits REAA for that amount. Would you like me to hold that until the chairman's here?
I think maybe it'd be, if you have no objection, why not? I would prefer to do it.
What category? We have a short cut sheet. We have a Peter printout for some reason. I guess because a lot of
those wanted to ask you a question before you get started. You didn't cut my throat somewhere in this development or anything so that I can trust it.
Oh yeah, no, you can trust it. We didn't do anything. We didn't do any deal.
I have one if you want to go through that.
Oh, okay. This has the House Senate Conference.
Yeah, but it's not the cut sheet, it's the worksheet you might find a little difficult.
Well, why don't you follow that? All right. Okay.
Give us the overview. So we know what
the overview, if you'll, the back page is misleading right now. It looks like that we took a general fund reduction of 1.4, almost 1.5, and other funds of 420, federal receipts of 342. That's misleading. We are going to have a reduction, but there was a couple areas that we zeroed, almost one area we zeroed split, and one of the massive reduction on it, because I hadn't made a decision yet, but I have now. It's a good recommendation. But we'll still be down probably at least $1 million.
Right about $1 million after you put renewable resources in the coverage.
Okay. Anyway. That is the beginning on international affairs, Office of the Governor, Fisheries Commission, Asian Office, European Office, we accepted the governor's figures. Okay. The next big one is Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation. The figure there shows down 928.2. What that does, what we took out everything except some contractual, because I hadn't made a decision yet. If you recall what happened in the supplemental budget just passed, we funded five new positions for ART in the supplemental budget, and the governor is requesting them in the fiscal year 81 budget. It's my recommendation right now that we do not allow those positions in fiscal year 81. In fact, I'm not ready to agree to leave them in the supplemental budget at this moment, so that we maintain present level of operation, and that's all. We fund the three positions, or five positions that are there, six positions that are there, and do not allow any new positions in
the
corporation at this time. Milt, do you have any number?
I don't have it, but it would be right at $1 million, though, basically the continuation level plus about $350,000 for the original venture now.
Around a million, so you'd save about $400,000.
Almost five.
Almost five.
Is this the outfit that invests money down in Oregon?
This is the outfit, right. Yeah. I'm applying for a loan for a farm that I have in Oregon. I thought maybe I could get some money for it.
I had a plantation in Maui. I was.
Yeah. I thought I'd get some renewable resourcing in Maui. It's not bad.
You depending on what you want to do on this one. I'm not. You know, I don't think anybody's very happy with these guys. But I'm waiting for the administration to see what they're going to do.
There's two things you can do, right? One thing you can do is zap them here and make your budget look artificially low, and knowing that in 3 conferences there'll probably be some resolution. That's one way.
You guys remember how I fought that thing?
Right.
Yeah, you know, at the beginning of the session, a big criticism was they're not moving fast enough, and they said, well, you know, we can't approve any more. We can't move any faster unless we have more people. And I think that we're cutting off our noses to spite our faces if we cut out these positions. I think they've made some bad investment decisions, but I haven't seen all of the data that went into it. And if you want the thing not to work, cut it out completely. Don't just trim it back to where they're having to limp along.
Yeah. My position is I'm not wanting to cut ARC out completely. I think that there's a lot of potential with that corporation based on their past record and on the recent one that was just uncovered, where they took this loan and they're investing in a plant in Coos Bay, Oregon. They're building completely outside the state. I think that the management of that corporation has to be straightened out. And that the administration, I think, right now is investigating that. And I think there's sufficient legislation saying also that to allow an expansion when there's question about management of the organization is not very wise. I think we'd be looking pretty foolish. Maybe by the time free conference comes,
well,
things will be resolved so it can be expanded. But
I don't want to jump on a bandwagon of, you know, assailing these guys. I think some of the criticism is justified and some of it is just baloney, you know, in my opinion. And I think they've been feeling their way and they've been really screwing up along the way. And part of the problem is that they haven't been fully funded. So there is this element of spiting ourselves, you know, of working contradictory. On the other hand, since we're kind of a ball up in the air right now, if we say we approve the whole thing right now, it kind of looks like approval, you know, kind of like saying, hey, there are no changes need to be made, right? Just go ahead with the same guys running it. No change needs to be made, we're going to fully fund you. If they see that both the House and the Senate are taking close looks at their budget, in addition to the public here, I think that causes certain repercussions. And the question is whether you want those or not.
Ron?
I think I do. I don't know if you do.
I think at the minimum, putting a position number one, the chief executive officer, someone who's going to be in charge instead of the three people who are in charge right now, might be valuable and might accomplish the objectives that the legislature is looking for.
Well, I think, you know, what I'm hoping is that there's some kind of satisfactory resolution and we fund these guys $1.5 million, whatever the hell they need to get on with the damn job. I am still very enthused about the concept and about the statute we passed. I'm very unenthused about the people that are running it and the way that they're running it. And I really don't know if I want to sort of put a notary stamp of approval on what they're doing by giving them what their reasonable request is. But I'd certainly be willing to do that in free conference. I know that for those people that aren't on a free conference, that's not all that satisfying. But personally, I might have, you know, I back up what Jim's recommending, but personally, I might have taken a deeper cut just to show what my feeling is about them. I think that, you know, we don't have the ability to fire those guys, but we do have the ability to put a lot of pressure on them.
Well, we are reducing the contractual below what the governor recommended in addition. The other reductions by how much?
$300,000, they had $706,000 in there for venture analysis. And we're cutting it by $350,000. It leaves them a bit of an increase over last year for that sort of thing.
I think Phil Harvard had said to, they told Milt that they estimate it cost them $3,500 for each analysis.
$3,500 per analysis.
Per analysis, and they can do 100 in a year. But anyway, you know,
Brian, I supported the increases. I would still do so if I felt confident the organization was being stripped out. And I think that's being worked on right now. That's committee recommendation. Or that's my recommendation.
You're it.
I'm recommending no new positions and...
$1 million approximately.
That's approximately what figure comes up to. No new, it's just a continuation budget to where it is. It's not expansion.
Plus about 350 over last year for this venture analysis that they didn't have.
So it is an increase in effect.
Right. Did the subcommittee have a hearing with these guys at all to go over?
There's been several meetings with them. There were several who met with Hubbard and others down in the speaker's office at various times. I've had several conversations.
We never really have allowed them the opportunity to try to explain themselves in this Oregon deal. I mean, they've been sort of judged guilty without the benefit of trial or counsel.
Well, they haven't been judged guilty. I mean, no one said that they're guilty of anything other than the fact that...
I have.
That you wouldn't call them out of chicken feed just because they're in the house at midnight.
No one's saying what they did is illegal. It's being investigated by Attorney General's office. But no one's saying they're guilty of anything, but I think you've got to resolve it and hang it.
There are certain inferences. You know, if you go to bed and there's no snow and you wake up and there's a foot of snow, you can reasonably infer that it snowed sometime during the night.
Mr. Chairman, a question on following up on what Mr. Duncan just said. Let's say that their action was not illegal. Then is there any means of... What means do we take of, if we disagree with that action, what corrective means do we take?
Well, I think the legislature has several options, of course. One is level funding in the budget. Secondly is how much of their of the renewable resources fund we appropriate, how much flexibility we allow them in receiving that money and utilizing it.
Is it bad?
Let's just say that somebody wanted to get those guys removed and get new people in there. Let's say that somebody wanted to. The way that our option at this point would be to destroy their budget and then go to carry the message to the governor that we did that because we don't like the people there, and if changes are made, we would fully fund them, but otherwise we're sticking to it. I suspect changes would be made. I'm just not advocating that, I'm just telling you that's an option.
Is it logical to put intent in there to preclude any further action like this Oregon fiasco?
Yeah.
Is that good or bad? At least you show something that you're not just rubber stamping the damned action and waiting for a legal opinion.
I think it is. I think it's unfortunate that this budget came up right at this time. I think within the next 2 or 3 days that there will be action from the administration. Let me give you a little, this is not secret information, let me give you a little history on what's happening. We're doing an audit of ARF, and we've had one authorized for a couple of weeks. They will not let our auditors in the office now. They've kicked them out.
They, meaning?
That's illegal.
The board of trustees, they're saying it's not illegal. The trustees wouldn't let them in yesterday. To make it even further, and why I'm recommending we do this, the Attorney General went in to look at the files, the Attorney General's office, and then we'll let them look at the files. They booted them out.
I remove my objection.
Okay, God, so man. What they're saying is, you guys, we can do whatever we want to do. You don't have any...
I think you should take action.
You guys, if you want to do stronger, what I'm recommending, do it. That's the information I have. Now, that's going to be resolved today, I'm sure. They're going to get the messages. You can't do that. But right now, they're not.
That's not the point. I think that, you know, when I left in 1974, went back to school, a couple of people had to come give talks about Alaska and what's happened up there. And I made all my speeches. I said the most significant event has been the Renewable Resources Corporation, which wasn't fully implemented at the time, right? 75 and 76. And I went on and on talking about how great idea it was because we only got renewable resources. I'm so discouraged, you know, that I really want the thing to work the way it was supposed to work, and it just really discouraging to see these things doing this thing. I feel a little stronger than you do on the budget personally. I would like to say, okay, here's the ball's up in the air, you know, zap them. And then they know that they're dissatisfaction. They know that something has to happen.
If we have time.
With the full knowledge that we're putting that in there as a whole, as a placeholder. Not that we really mean that forever, but we put that in there and say, look, we're going to address this in free conference, assuming certain satisfactory events. Now, the problem with that is that there may be senators who, under no circumstances, want to fund it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's your part.
You may want to weaken your case. Yeah. Two zeros.
Yes, well, that's what I was thinking about as I did this, is that I think on the other side, there's even more dissatisfaction on the House side. Because the support of the corporation is really kind of true. You know, Brian and Gardner.
What did they get funded last year?
$638,000.
Oh, you mean that? We fund them at some level, but really low, not zero.
I think Jim's recommendation is a reasonable starting level under the circumstances. But I do believe they should be fully funded at the governor's request, and but I'm willing not to get some of the audits through.
Fund their positions, take their contractual, which is their venture analysis, which doesn't allow them to really go out and do any looking at projects. They're just there as individuals in the House budget.
That might be a better way to go.
So they're funded as, you know, we're saying the corporation should exist, but we're not happy with the management structure, the management the way it is.
Or the venture analysis.
Or the venture analysis. So we're zeroing, you know, taking that money, make some changes, and you get it back.
I go for that.
Did we authorize or cap the line at 18 million last year?
11. 11 million?
11 million, was it? How much of that have they authorized?
I think they're up to about five and a half, somewhere around there.
Have you guys seen a list of what they've been involved in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have too.
What is it?
Huh?
Is there a list readily available?
Well, I got one.
What's the deal?
Already we're just talking, asking if there was a list available that we could look at that shows that the current investments that these people have made, and I just think they look.
They've only made about three or four.
No, they've made a number more in the last 2 months, including TIPA.
Yeah.
That one, if you want to get into that one at all, I've done a little bit of work on it, and I think that if we could find a site for them in Alaska, that operation.
The project isn't a bad idea.
Yeah, it's something that would work in Alaska. The problem is they weren't able to find a site, so they weren't trying to say, well, let's do a pilot project and then do it in Alaska. Trying to develop Alaska businesses, and there's a new process that. Kind of business that would work, and you can't find anybody to let you have a site for an Alaska project. Maybe it's reasonable. I don't know. I don't know all of that.
Well, just consider this though. You know, those guys make $50,000 a year, which we paid them well so that they would have good, competent people in there, and the governor picked people that may very well be competent in other areas, but are not particularly competent in this area. In fact, I would guess to say that you know more about it. Starting out, when they started, they knew less about it than Brian Rogers at 29 or whatever you are. So, you know, these guys did not have a tremendous amount of expertise in this area. The original point is by the governor didn't make a lot of sense. Now it's on-the-job training, you know, at $50,000 a year, and it's unfortunate.
I believe the new trustee is really turning things around and getting them to where they have some understanding of what they're
could
supposed
be.
To be doing.
He does have some. Credits, you know, in this regard. But
this, Mr. Chairman, this still doesn't answer my concerns about the Oregon thing. Is there a way to acknowledge it or to show disapproval of it, or is there a way to handle it? And then Jim Duncan's comments about the inaccessibility of the kind of disturbs me too.
Well, they were accessible up till yesterday.
Well, the budget didn't pass today.
It quickly became inaccessible.
Is that right, Oral?
That's right.
Okay, then I don't like that.
I agree.
Mr. Chairman?
Well, then let's do something about it.
Can I move that we keep this page open until we're ready to close the entire 81 budget, and maybe we'll have better information from them by the time, and make sure that they know that, you know, if it's open, it's still zero, right?
Sure.
And,
let's make a motion like this. Let's move no figure, and part of the motion be that we will take another look at this at the close of this process, which be today or tomorrow or whenever it is, before we recommend finally, this be the very last thing we look at, but recommend right now zero unless we get, and then if we get better information, if we find out that the audit problem is cleared up, then we'll take a look at it and look another way. Is that satisfactory? But I'd like a temporary zero.
Chairman, do we get a list of the current investments that they've made?
No, can you?
I'll try to get
they've got a list which shows current investments.
They left you in the office.
And it also shows what kinds of projects are you know, sort of in the process in an application, and it's on its way towards approval or whatever.
Are we past that? Zero temporary? Past zero? Okay. The next, okay, the next one's a show of taxes. Those, care tax and this one, voluntary, those are all together, so you can, wait a minute. What do we do different here, Mel?
They are together, so you can,
Right, okay.
Available resources with the difference.
Okay.
First one might be the only one.
Okay, then on, economic enterprise, general operations, which is page thirty.
There's a, the bond bank authority there too, governor's figure.
Pardon?
There was a bond bank authority there too, governor's figure.
Right. Care tax, bond bank authority, governor's figure. The difference, the 82.7 decrease in economic enterprise, general operations is in the contractual figure.
Wait, is this 100% or?
Which one?
The sheer taxes.
Municipal assistance is not.
What level is that?
Well, 10%,
Oh gosh, yeah, 10% of these.
About 42 million.
Well, let me put it this way, what did we fund them at last year?
11.4 last year.
Yeah, I know that, I don't really do that.
Full funding would be 41.7 million.
I didn't make any recommendation other than together with this committee.
Yeah, well.
I think it's just my idea.
Is this budget also have, revenue share?
Yes, we didn't do any.
No.
It doesn't have revenue share?
We didn't do any.
Later under CNR.
Yeah, it's in the same category. Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I would think we'd want to consider some sort of inflation in that number, in the, municipal assistance category. I don't know if what's a reasonable number to use, but,
If there had been a, if we were sharing taxes in the same way, there probably would have been.
Right.
Normally.
You know, even though the, it came from the business license tax and I don't know, business activity's down a little bit in the state. My guess is that, you know, we would have seen at least a 5 or 7 or something percent increase.
10% is right up 12.5 or, yeah.
12,540.
540.
Municipal assistance.
Yeah.
This is that share tax thing, you know, not the revenue share.
So, I didn't make any recommendation. What do we make to increase the official?
It would cost you 1.1 million and you're a million below, so you go. Well, I like to look at revenue sharing and municipal assistance in the same, at the same time, even though they're different parts of the thing, because same part, it's the same event, isn't it?
Well, it goes the same place. It doesn't make much difference to put a million in here and take it out of the revenue sharing. You're not doing it.
But the allocations are a bit different.
The allocations of two communities,
they probably generally go to the same places.
Well, you know, on the revenue sharing, this is kind of tricky, but can't we fund the revenue sharing at a low level, or whatever the governor has in or whatever, and maybe below, and then fund in the fiscal note when we pass the revenue sharing? Fund the change.
That's why I didn't do anything there.
Yeah. Because, like, I think, you know, we're looking at about 31 million down to hospitals.
What are you going to fund hospitals at?
8 million? Something like that. Right?
Yeah, I do think that that the best way to handle the revenue sharing portion would be through the fiscal note. But this one, the only way to, if it's going to be a change, the only way to do it is through the budget. And we, in the school foundation, we gave a 7.3% increase for FY81, and if we matched that on this one, it would make it to 12,200 for an increase of 800.
Increase of what?
800,000 would be the same inflation as we're giving to the schools, and I think that would be a reasonable number to use, a 7.3% increase.
Well, the schools are getting 17.5 in the.
But they're getting 7.3 in the unit value. That's the number I'm using. The same inflation in the unit value, that would use the same inflation. I think if we don't use inflation, some, you know, if we don't set up some sort of inflationary number in here, otherwise they're going to keep saying, well, it's, it should be X percent of the.
Well, what was inflation?
I don't know.
Do you
know?
Pretty high, about 10, wasn't it?
In Alaska, it was, I think, about 10, between 8 and 10.
We go over though. see, the key is, though, in revenue sharing, we can count that as a bill, and it doesn't go over the governor's limit. I mean, that's craziness, but that's a separate...
That's what we're into.
That's a craziness. That's exactly the kind of craziness we're into, but... You know, so we can bump revenue sharing a million and not hit the governor's operating limit, but... I don't know. I'm not saying that leads to any necessary conclusion. That's just information. I agree that it should have inflation, though. Last year was 11.4.
Yeah.
What are all these other taxes? Are these, we share all these taxes?
Yeah, those are all shared taxes. Those are projections based upon...
They're shared with the municipality?
Yeah.
Well, if we cut the debt service thing in the education budget by 800,000, and put in 800,000 here. You know, that 4 million we added on, just add 3 million on.
Yeah, it all goes, you know, it's all goes to the same place.
Well, no, it all goes to the local governments, but they're different allocations.
So you don't know who's benefiting the most from that, without regarding that. And that's Brian knows.
Sure.
I'm
guessing.
Fairbanks picks up 600,000 in the municipal assistance.
Well, that's true, Joe. We added that 4 million there. Now, you know, it depends on where you want to put it, I guess. It's all going to municipalities. What are we doing for them anyway? We're giving them 4 million there, and then shared taxes, no increase. Revenue sharing about, what were they last year? 20. We're on 31, so 11 million in revenue sharing. School foundation. 38 million. More like whatever. Okay, 5 and 13.
53 million. And they probably increased the assessment on the folks at home by 30-40%.
That's what too is, Dave.
Those areas that levy taxes.
Mr. Chairman, we're not gonna get through this first thing, but hard decision here.
Okay.
Moving right along. Okay, the difference in general operation and economic enterprise, help me out here, Milton, this is that we took out a contractual figure of 82.7
right,
for petrochemical development specialist.
Petrochemical development specialist?
Good for you. The rationale behind that was that that work could be done elsewhere, and all much better could be done here.
Private sector.
AG's office, yeah. The governor's office. There's not people working
on
joint gas pipeline. Okay. The agent office, the next decrease here is the economic enterprise agent office shows a zero because I didn't have any information and still don't have all the information. So I'm going to recommend a governor's figure on that. That is Pete Jeans, you know, who was brought back from Tokyo, and he's written a memo now explaining the rationale and what their duties are going to be. So,
is this a new?
We have two Asian offices.
We got two Asian offices. That's what I was going to say.
We got an Asian office in the governor's office, which is not in Alaska. Then you have an Asian office in the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, which is located in Alaska.
It's a bunch of Asians that are over here.
And
well, my cousin.
This is Pete Jeans. Pete Jeans, and they have made a determination he can accomplish more by being here in Alaska to work with.
And the other guys who've got.
Is this Mike Miller's thing about relocating?
Then could we zero the other one out if they could accomplish more with the office here?
I don't. You can do whatever you want to, but I'm not out front waving a banner on this thing. I just make recommendations.
It's my understanding in the beginning that they were supposed to be a sort of a PR, a Sale Alaska type thing.
Right.
Well, they sold the damn place. The Japs own half the lumber. And all
the
bring them home.
Yeah, those guys, how they did their job. This office is back.
Well, keep in mind, this is not the office located in Tokyo. This is the office located in Alaska. The other office, if you want to bring those fellows home, you go back up to page 6 here. And,
so, Mr. Chairman, is the one you're just now speaking about, is it in existence currently? The one that's located here? Do you have an Asian office located here now?
It is. I just read it.
What do they do? I don't understand that.
Well, the memo's right here if you want a copy of what they do. They're supposed to be coordinating over here, identifying possible products to be marketed
Japan.
Do we have a European office here also?
No. We would have if they brought anybody home. I move to cut
that recommendation.
No, that's not a recommendation.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Because she was printed without my final recommendation.
Okay, I move zero.
Subcommittee recommendation. Let me make my...
I'm sorry. I apologize.
The subcommittee recommendation is we fund it at the governor's level.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this information here is available for anyone to look at if they want to.
I'd like to move figure zero. And I got reason, but first of all, I'm not really sure that I really even like the Asian and European offices as a concept. Now we got one over there and one over here, and that seems really nutsy to me.
Absolutely.
And
the Alaska Black Caucus is asking for an African office too, and I think that would be better than having two Asian offices. So I'd go along with you on that.
I agree it should be zeroed out.
Are you serious?
I'll be
rich. Busting your budget. Normally people bust the guy's budget and put stuff in.
Question.
Those in favor of zero? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. Motion carries.
I have one proxy.
They used to take those voice votes. They say that Bill Obvious used to yell in the back.
Okay, loan fund administration on page 36. We actually didn't do much here waiting to see what's finally going to happen to the loan funds. What's the difference here?
All we did was take out some vacancy.
Some vacancy. But we didn't do anything else.
That's
wait to see what what's going to happen with the bills are going through. Okay, on the Ventures Loan Fund, we took out vacancy again, but that's all we did.
That might be a big increase, though, huh?
Well, depending on what happens with the bills, I guess. But we didn't do anything there. Energy and Power Development, Energy Administration.
How about tourism?
Oh, tourism? The governor's figure.
Didn't we have 1.5 in for tourism last year?
Last year they had, Pittsburgh's 80 authorized was 2 million.
Well, what happened?
26,000. Well, they've got 2.5 this year, they got an increase.
Look, I read 903. Oh, I'm in the wrong level, huh?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was reading 903 and
yesterday, I told a lie yesterday. They went to see me yesterday and they want another delegation in and they were looking for another $1.5 million and I told them the office was already closed, they should go to the Senate now. I forgot them.
They came to see me, but I was in a meeting.
Who is it that wants to manage?
The Visitors Association.
Visitors Association.
Right. They want.
They put a cap, right?
An increase of another $1.5 million over what is here, I guess.
Wow.
But, you know, they may have good reasoning, but.
We haven't heard it, so what can we do?
I think this is a substantial increase. So we'll recommend your governor's figures.
EPD.
In Energy and Power Development, they were requesting. Three new positions, which we did not allow. Correct, Mel?
Correct.
That's the difference.
What were those positions going to do?
one was to work on an energy plan, and another was for rural energy information and so forth in rural areas.
What happened to the energy conservation unit?
That's the second page. Mel, go ahead on that one point there. This is being taken care of.
As far as the contractual monies go for the energy plan and contractual monies for the rural energy effort, they have over $100,000 in the energy extension budget that they can use for various studies. And the existing staff we thought was adequate to do whatever they were going to do in this area. Basically, there's been a lot of dissatisfaction with their performance. So.
It wasn't an idea that we wanted to cut off the rural energy study, but the money's there in the contractual. They were putting three positions in Anchorage to do it, and just didn't throw the positions necessary.
I think the work that they're doing is important, but any add-ons should be considered along with the rural energy bill and the energy conservation bill, which and they can be considered as part of the fiscal note.
I guess that's basically what we've done.
We've cut
What kind of energy study they're doing in other areas besides the rural areas?
They're supposed to have a plan, actually two statewide plans, one for power and the other for all energy use, heating, transportation, everything.
Okay, any further questions on that one? Energy conservation units, we decreased them substantially.
Going pretty good.
Reduced the, eliminated the general fund, which in this case funded the planning for all energy uses.
Does this show right here, Milton?
You show minus 4.
Now, this is another one where it wasn't the final decision made, so it was, it's not zeroed out.
Right.
It's not zeroed out. That's
yes, I'm sorry.
The cut sheet is not correct.
That's right.
What's that? Your cut sheet is not correct here on energy conservation.
We were happy to see if those general funds were matching funds. There's a bill in Congress that's been there for 2 years, which if it passes would require this match, but it hasn't passed yet, so
this should be 460. No, it should read 342.9 in the federal funds. We took out the general fund.
Right.
That's under energy conservation?
Right.
342.9.
Right.
You're up that much then, right?
No, we're not. That's in federal funds.
Well, that's all federal.
That's all federal.
So
funds.
The general fund isn't.
The general fund.
Mr. Chairman, on this one again, I think it's important that we not just sort of go with completely a federal program, but try to design something on our own, and that'll come up before us again under the Energy Conservation Act.
Fine.
Okay. That's the next change is on Alaska Power Authority. We increased them by 98.6. What we did there was we added. They had requested two positions the governor had not allowed. We allowed them. And I think my conversations with Eric Field and others is they're doing quite a bit of work, and those guys need extra staff.
They're getting more this year, too. So,
Mr. Chairman, I believe those positions are in the capital budget.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. These positions were originally requested, one to supervise the CSIP effort, the other for the TAI effort. But they have instead come up with five CIPs for the Susitna effort out of their monies appropriated for that. And if the TAI appropriation passes, they will take a CIP position from there for TAI. But the Power Authority still felt that they needed these positions for all the other projects that they appear that they'll have going on this year.
I'm still convinced they need these added positions. You know, we're going to give them quite a bit more money for a lot of smaller projects around the state. I think Eric and his staff is, I don't even know how they keep up. So I think we should allow these two positions here as general fund positions. In fact, I'm more inclined to allow these general fund positions so we know where they are than to allow CIP positions.
In the capital budget, they'd be CIP.
Right.
Yeah.
And, but as originally requested, they were project related. I did a fair amount of work with the Power Authority over the interim, and I think they have a greater need for an economist for one of these positions. That's one of the areas I think they're weakest on, and that we had Representative Malone and I did quite a bit of work on some of the economics issues with them, and I would think that if we're going to add two positions, one of them ought to be an economist. They're probably roughly the same cost.
What are these two positions now?
There would be
two project engineers.
Right now, it's project engineers. You know, I think they do need increased support in there. In fact, I'm not even.
The difference between engineer and economist is interesting.
Yeah. I'm convinced the Power Authority is doing a lot of work, and I think they're doing pretty good work. They just need more staffing. Like, maybe we leave the flexibility there. If there's any information, they want to make the decision we need. Ernie, you've talked to him. What do you think?
Well, an engineer, if you're talking about, I don't know how you plan to use an economist, but they're just simple facts of life that make a project feasible or not feasible. And it takes an engineer to really to look at the site and see what the needs are. It depends on what kind of site you're involved with, too, whether it's hydro or gas-fired or whatever.
There are people who are both engineers and economists.
A lot of things were thrown at them, they could easily stand three positions. No question in my mind about it. And everything that's thrown into that budget that they've got to go with, and they've run it from one end of the state to the other in the same day.
Mr. Chairman, I'd agree with Ernie, you know, on the projects, particularly, for example, in Southeast, where you've got an obvious choice, and they're ready to go with some projects. The engineers is the most important, but particularly in the short term in the rail belt, we've got, in the long term, we've got hydro probably coming on. In the short term, we've got several different possibilities as to what we're going to do. If the Susitna project goes, it won't be online until 1990 at the earliest, and probably 1994. The question of coal versus natural gas versus conventional oil-fired boilers, for example, in the short term, is a more of a question of economics than engineering.
Do they have an economist?
No.
They don't have one economist to make all the decisions about the feasibility of this project without an economist?
No. They've been relying on the legislature to make the decisions on feasibility of the project. And that's why I feel it's important for them, if they're gonna figure out which is the best project to build, it's important that they use some economic.
What's your recommendation? To change one of these or to add one?
Or either change it or just say make one of the positions project engineer / economist and getting somebody with both specialties.
Mr. Chair, to be quite honest with you, I'd prefer to add another position.
I have no problem. What he's saying is right. I've been trying to say the same thing, but haven't been heard. There's lots of times when you have to look at an area, and depending on what resources are there, you've got to decide which one, especially if we're going to be involved in it, to fund it, which is the most feasible project to do, you know.
Let's add one.
Okay.
Could you call it engineer economist?
No, let's just call it economist.
Economist.
The added position should be a... should make sure the guy is really an economist, not just an engineer who features himself as one. Because there's, you know, that's a big rivalry too, you know. The engineers probably think the economists don't know what they're doing and vice versa, but you need one guy on there that's looking at in terms of, you know, the long-term inflation bailout and everything else.
Right now they have three professional positions. The director, one is in taking care of law and finance, and one engineer. So this will give them three, in total of three engineers and an economist. I think that'll round
the guy called me the other day and said that when they were doing some big dam, I think it was the Rampart, but it might have been a different one. They had this, he was on the feasibility group that did this analysis for a year or two, and it was finally rejected because the cost of the power was going to be like 2.5 cents per kilowatt or something. It was unfeasible right at the time. It was, you know, for some reason or whatever it was like, you know, now it would be considered extremely cheap.
Milt, do you have a recommendation for a number on an economist?
Oh, I don't think you could do any better by than just taking the amount for an engineer there.
Okay.
Same level.
So moved.
Okay. The next area of change in the budget is under agricultural management. We've done all the... except all the governor's figures, so we got the state fairs. We increased the grants to state fairs by $125,000. That is the amount that would be granted under the bill that was passed by the legislature last year.
State fairs?
Yeah.
What page?
All right.
Page 72, right. We increased it. The governor had given the same thing they got last year, given a continuation. We increased.
Inflation generally, so then we change the statute and bump them up, and then, isn't that right?
Right, that's what we did. Okay, after that, municipal revenue sharing, we left the governor's figure contingent on the passage of the bill. Agricultural land exemption, again, is just it's a forecast. Forestry seeks the same. Rural development grants, the governor's figure, those are grants that maximum they can be, what, 40,000? 40,000 per community. This year they've expended
So far, they've spent about half of it, and they 516,000 of their 841 have been spent. But they're having a second round of grant awards that will use up the rest of the money.
Wrong floor. Okay. Any problems with that? Going right ahead then. The next change is community legal assistance grant, community legal assistance grants. The governor had them in at
zero.
Zero. We're recommending $50,000. The information we've received is a last year there was a balance in the account. Go ahead, Bill. I don't have a figure to talk about.
As of February of this year, the balance was down to $19,000. And they had requests for $35,000. So this was just cover the request.
He just request and $15,000 extra.
Does this keep, is this a sort of like a capital appropriation?
Hey,
it stays.
It stays. Right. Okay, the next change is on local government assistance. What's the change here? Just real quick. Training development. Let me do that.
We added the new position. Those are the new positions for Dillingham that were requested by Representative Anderson.
How many?
Right.
Three?
Three. Well, two full-time and one part-time. Two and a half.
Okay. The rest of us are governor's figure in that area. Community planning assistance.
Nope. That was bottom fish funding that we deleted. There are a couple hundred thousand dollars in the capital budget for bottom fish that are general funds, of course, that they were going to transfer to community planning to be fund some positions.
Which capital budget, HB60 or last year's capital?
In the governor's capital budget. And the monies would eventually go to the communities and fund some positions for planning, but they already have $1,800,000 in coastal zone management money and another $500,000 or so in coastal energy impact money that goes to various coastal communities for economic impacts, specifically energy in the case of the CEIP monies, but coastal zone management money is $1.8 million in itself, and we felt that was probably sufficient for.
How many of the nine new positions were approved?
So we approved three positions that are funded from federal HUD money and deleted the six positions that are funded from the bottom fish money.
Okay, which three positions?
First three.
The first three are funded.
The first three, which are primarily federal funds with some general funds.
Right.
Okay.
Question?
No. Comment? The next change then is on municipal lands trustee.
We increased.
Big note, we decreased them. The change here, the governor had.
Excuse me. You and I, we doubled.
What are we doing here?
This is the last we had from division. Saying that they would need these additional people here for these lands that are expected to be transferred to the trustee for supervision in the next year or so. And so it's basically six new positions. The governor's new positions weren't taken.
Six new positions?
Right. A total of nine positions will be allowed in the House budget.
Wait a minute. Municipal lands trustee?
Right. The governor had a request here for two new positions. We didn't allow that, but then there was a memo from Larry Kimball, director of the community planning, with a program for further work in this area, and there were six positions there that were requested.
Okay.
We may have got our wires crossed, but maybe you didn't have a chance to review that. I thought you hadn't.
I haven't seen it.
Be approved.
I hadn't seen that memo, so I don't get to. This is one to slip by me, I think.
This one on municipal lands,
right? Because I thought we'd
hold it open.
I think we better hold it open. Okay. We talked about it.
We got to open another category.
The original recommendation was to take out the two positions the governor recommended, but now we've got another memo requesting six additional. I haven't seen that.
No, do you know what the, or does anyone here know what the
time lag is, like, once we, the House Caucus is looking at this budget on Monday, you know, I figured give the staff the weekend, you know. But if we get done, what's today, Wednesday? So let's say we finish tomorrow. Would that be enough time?
For what?
To get a budget printed into the caucus, an operating budget printed into the caucus on Monday?
On Monday?
Yeah.
If
it isn't,
sure.
We'll just delay it, but I mean, that's what our tentative goal has been.
What's tomorrow, Thursday?
Garner's asked me to let him know if we aren't going to miss it.
If you were finished on Wednesday, I'm sure we could have
no,
a first Thursday bill for you on Monday, possibly even by Friday.
The numbers are already
really finished. Most of the numbers are in the computer. Just be a few changes. I'm sure we've had it on Monday for sure.
Without too much...
Friday, probably.
Okay. But that wouldn't require too much, except for the computer people who always stay up all night.
I would think it'd be good for us to get sort of get an overview in committee before we send it down. We might want to sort of take a day and look at the bottom line.
Well, what we could do is meet Monday.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, just so
yeah.
Friday has been left intentionally open for whatever
maybe
budget slot over.
Maybe that'd be Friday.
Okay. So anyway, let's do that one open. I haven't. That's a big increase. I thought we had to come up with 2 minutes here, so. Administration, Office of the Commissioner of Administrative Services, I think, your Office of Administrative Services, that's just what, vacancy?
Vacancy
decrease. And that takes care of it. Okay.
2 pages open.
Two pages open.
Yeah.
Arc. Can I have a quick question, Mr. What did the budget, the way you've got it now, from fiscal 80 to fiscal 81, difference? Or a percent increase, or the two figures, or whatever you want to say.
Well, if you assume ARC at the same level as last year, and we'll be about $1 million down, I think.
You'll have $1 million less for fiscal 81 than fiscal 80.
That's the governor's, excuse me.
No, compared to fiscal 80.
Oh, I don't know. No, you had that
roughly. Just round it off as quarter million, so I don't care. Just rough. I want to know rough.
General funds, you're going to be up about 10%, largely for revenue sharing.
Ooh.
I'm about total, a whole book, you know?
No, I was just speaking about development. I don't know the total budget. We have that, but we'll be, we could get that together.
And then do you have a rough idea of how many new bodies you have in fiscal 81 over fiscal 80? I don't give a damn about the governor's budget. It's what we had actual fiscal 80, and then what we're doing here over fiscal 81.
Are you talking about development alone?
The whole book.
Yeah.
I think
okay. Milton misunderstood you.
Oh.
Okay. No, I don't have that. We'll, as soon as you... have been through most of the budgets, we can put that together very quickly. At this point, it'd be a very rough guess.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's the point that I'm interested in. I mean, rounded off in quarter, half millions, I don't care. I think we should know in each of these books how many new bodies are added compared to fiscal 80 to fiscal 81, and then how much in dollars, either in percent or dollars, it's going up.
Yeah, I've requested all that information.
Okay, so
it's coming, but I was going to wait till we...
Fine.
I want to keep you, you know, you got to keep... Well, let me tell you what the plan is, okay? You try to keep control of it as you go through. Then you come back and you look at it. You look at how many bodies you put in. You look at what your numbers are. We're pretty close to the governor, so we're doing fair in terms of the dollars. But I think we might be putting on more people than we're wanting to.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back and look at the runs. And if we're putting on 600 people, maybe we'll want to go back through it and take some out.
Okay.
I don't want to close the budget until we see the big picture, because that's how the governor did it, right? He went through every single category, this is what Ryan went through, made decisions on each one, and then say, okay, it's done, print it, and it ends up running out 650 new employees.
Which you say he didn't know.
Which he didn't know until the end, right? Because he didn't look at it in the overview. So we need to do that. Be tight as you go through, then come back and look, and we'll show what the governor, what last year's was, what the governor did and what we did, and we can make those comparisons and see that maybe in some budgets we cut half of the positions out, and other budgets we left them all in. So we'll go back into those budgets that look like they are fat, you know, in that respect. I'm also going to get a run, though, which separates out the employees into federally funded employees and state funded employees, general funded employees. Because, you know, when we go through, we usually authorize all those federal funded employees, and then I think we need to split it up that way. For our benefit and for the public's benefit in terms of what we've really done, because putting on people with federal money is different.
If you just for a minute, back to this community planning assistance, what are those, grant monies or what?
Community planning, yes, sir. For the most part, that goes out in grant money to the various communities for planning.
can you specifically line item one?
Sure.
What I'd like to do is put within the appropriation of $25,000 made available to the city of Cake for
what's our level?
Road planning.
I'm making sure we have it. Community planning assistance, one we added $50,000 to?
No, that was the legal assistance.
Okay.
Community planning is the one where they had the modification coastal zone management.
Well, the reason I'd like to have it is because so the community knows where they could reach that. They've tried to get some planning assistance in the past couple of years and they haven't been able to get any. I'd like to just line item within the appropriation and that $25,000 would be available to the community. You're a grant, aren't they, Jim?
Yeah, they are grants, I guess, right?
Yes, they are.
Why don't you just put it in the...
Within the appropriation.
Within the appropriation.
Your market, the city of Cake.
Okay, one more thing before you go. This is a tentative schedule, and you'll see on the second to the last one, HB 710, called appropriation adjustment. That's the last transfer of appropriations that's going through. So anybody that's interested in transferring appropriations, get them into open.
Chairman, I have a few more copies of that information I had the other night. If you need it, maybe you've made enough copies now.
I don't know if we have. Maybe we could pass it out. The purpose of this meeting is to hear from the commissioner what some of us have heard about in the paper, that the federal government has withdrawn the use of about $41 million worth of funds that we're going to utilize this summer, and that puts some amount of projects in jeopardy. I don't think that the federal government is not, as I understand it from the commissioner, the federal government is not designating which projects they're withdrawing the money from, but they're just not allowing us to utilize at this time a certain amount of money, which is approximately $40 million. And I'd like to have the commissioner run down what exactly is the situation and what our options are, and then what he might recommend us to.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Bob Ward, State DOTPF. I have asked Charlie Matlock, our Director of Highway Design and Construction, to come over, and he'll be over eventually, in case there's any discussion you want on specific projects. He has the best information on that, but that's no problem on my proceeding at this point. About a month ago, and just for a little background, for additional, perhaps, information to the committee, it was nearly a month ago when the President indicated his anti-inflation initiatives for the nation. One of the centerpieces, of course, of his initiative was for a balanced budget in fiscal 81, and it seems to have a great deal of support from the Congress. As part of that, balancing the budget for fiscal 81, as far as the highway programs were concerned, it was felt that the cash flow would have to be restricted in fiscal 80 on obligational authority in order to be able to prevent a cycle whereby they would not be able to keep from spending enough money in 81 because of commitments having been made in 80 to balance the budget.
Because highway projects are several multi-year projects, so if you commit the first half of it or whatever, a third of it, you're kind of committed to the rest of it. Is that the thinking on that?
Yeah, that's true. So the crux, the key thing to remember in this particular exercise is that it's cash flow, the reducing cash flow that they're after, not taking away projects or taking away money from the state. So there was $8.5 billion worth of allocations for all the states for highway projects in fiscal 80. And those are the categorical projects in the trust fund, funded from the Highway Trust Fund and not the general fund of the federal government. So their thought was, in order to be able to meet their requirements in 81, they would need to reduce obligational authority from the $8.5 billion back to $7.3 billion. And as soon as the initiatives were announced, the Federal Highway Administration stopped all additional obligational authority. So we had some projects in the mill, as did every other state in the union, and they quit working on those and had a moratorium on any additional obligations until they determined what the program would be for the balance of fiscal 80.
what we had felt all along from discussion with other states and with other, with the national DOT officials as recently as a couple of weeks ago, was that they were going to open up obligational authority then, because $5 billion, a little more than $5 billion, had already been obligated of the 7.3. So they've just opened up obligational authority for the balance of the 5 to the 7.3, first come, first serve, until the funds were exhausted, which they anticipated would be in late May or early June, the federal government's fiscal year being October 1, starting on October 1. So we were all poised for that, but instead of that, they announced only a little over a week ago that they, well, not a week yet, that they would allocate the remaining amount to each state based on about the same percentage that federal funds are allocated to the states to start with. And so then our percentage of that balance was, not first come, first serve, the amount of projects we could get in that get obligated, was $29 million maximum. But they also said, in that $29 million, said that we would have, we would only be able to obligate 3/4 of the $29 million, or $22 million, prior to August 1. And that after August 1, they would allocate, or we could obligate the balance. They also said that they needed month-by-month cash flows, cash projections of what we were going to ask for allocation within the $22 million, and that in the initial go-around, they would only authorize $11 million of the $22 million worth of obligation prior to the August 1. In discussions with the local officials of the Federal Highway Administration here in Juneau, we have, on as of yesterday morning, on fairly firm authority, and I think it's at least 95% firm and probably closer to 99, that they will allow us to obligate the $22 million of the $29 million right away. Then we will ask for the remaining $7 million of the $22 million, of the $29 million of obligation prior to August 1. What we'll do in our submittal to them, which, and you have in front of you the draft of their submittal, we will say, indicate to them that after August 1, what we would do with the other $7 million, but we're asking them to allow us to use the $7 million in June, because that's when the projects will be ready to go to advertising, and if they make us wait until August, there won't be any cash flow this year because we wouldn't be able to get the projects out. There wouldn't be any point in having the money after August. What we have done then, based on those guidelines, was to take a series of projects, and those projects are listed by region in the second handout that you have, and those are the projects with some minor exceptions which I'll discuss a little later. Those are the projects by which we produced a $71 million program for this year. There are some changes in this, as I'll talk a little later. Then we took from those projects, and you'll notice the ones that are asterisks, one, two, and three asterisks, depending on the criteria. Those that have the single asterisk are the ones that we have recommended to the federal, or we will be recommending, assuming that it's agreeable, that we will recommend that those be obligated now as soon as we get the authority to do so. The double asterisks are those projects that we identified as being one, neat projects, and by that I mean projects that aren't complicated and that could be funded by state funds and without jeopardizing future projects or future funding. What that means is, if those are directly appropriated from general revenues of the state for funding, what it means is that those projects will be built by state funds, and if federal funds become available, even though the projects aren't complete, we will not be able to replace state dollars with federal dollars to finish the project. So we would be committed to expenditures of state dollars. We've also, in developing the double asterisk projects, used those projects that can be to bid and some construction work done on them this season. If they're projects that are going to carry over, after the additional obligational authority is available, there's no point in recommending state dollars for that. But the couple of just minor qualifications, then the triple asterisks are just those that we're recommending that would be obligated as soon as we get obligational authority again, based on fiscal 81 funds, or the start of the fiscal year as after October. There are a couple projects that need to be mentioned. One, there's a North Girdwood overhead is an overpass over the railroad tracks on that sharp corner just before on the Seward Highway, just before getting to the turnoff at into Girdwood at Alyeska. And those funds are category in the category of railroad safety funds, and there is a chance, because we don't have all that many railroad type safety projects, those are harder monies to obligate to use our full entitlement than are the others. All the categories of funds that we're talking about here are federal funds. The obligational authority lasts for 3 years. In other words, there's no danger of lapsing funds. You won't lapse funds if you expend them within 3 years after the start of the fiscal year in which the obligational authority occurs. So these projects here, we have from the start of October of this year, we will have 2 more years left to obligate those funds before they lapse. And the only chance of losing them would be if they lapse. The North Goodwood overhead, we are recommending that to be state funded, because there could be a project this year. And but it is with the caveat that there is some chance that maybe they lapse, but we will try to obligate it fully without making it. That's a big piece of railroad safety funds to take out of the federal program. The Wrangell paving that you'll notice in the southeast section is not a project that we had in there for the traditional state federal highway funding, because it's a forest highway project. Forest highway projects are also being cut back, and in order to keep other projects intact, like that they have been working on, the Hope paving is one that is in that same program, and also the Big Salt Road on Prince of Wales Island. And since also we have in here a $500,000 paving job in Wrangell that was also scheduled for this summer, if we could combine those two with state funds, it would make a nice project out of it. Otherwise, if the 1.8 is not funded by state funds, it'll just drop and come in a later year. And there's some question in whether it'd be all that wise to spend the $500,000 down there for a project and have to come back in later with another paving project the next year. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd just open up for questions if you have.
Now, is it true that the federal money can be allocated to any of these projects legally?
The backup list on the draft letter to the highway official here, within the $22 million, this backup list will go to the regional office in for Region 10 in Portland. But they will not send it on to Washington. So what they'll say, they'll just take the totals and send to Washington and ask them for their approval for obligational authority now. And then once that's getting within those projects, we can make some changes if we have to, or if it's desirable to do so. And it may be if the balance, the rest of the $7 million is not available before August. So we do have some flexibility.
Well, how are these projects picked? How do you pick which one should go federal funds and which one should go state? You have any criteria for that?
Yeah, we tried to base them on the need, and number one, the ones that were ready to go right away and getting some kind of regional balance, since we figured that at least the $22 million worth were, so to speak, in hand. There's no assurance that the balance are going to be funded from state funds, and there are other discussions. So we want to take the ones that we were sure we could get out right away. And then there's some critical projects, and like the Minnesota extension is a rather critical, and it's a large one.
Yeah.
But it is, it has some.
Now the ones you want the most really should be federal, because that money you know you're going to get. And the next most highest priority would be state funds, because you might get state funds, but you don't ever know what's going to happen. You're requesting it, but you might not get it. And then the third priority would be those that you don't want that are lower on the priority that you could hold over a year and maybe capture federal funds or state funds in the next year.
There are critical projects on those that will carry over, but there's nothing we can do to accelerate them anyway.
Well, it would seem to me that you'd go, with regional distribution, you'd go, the highest priorities are funded federally, the second highest are funded state, and the third highest are funded next year.
That's the prime. I also should point out, too, that because you'll notice some differences in numbers, the second sheet, the backups by region, include total anticipated cost of projects, federal and state dollars. This list with the first handout is only federal dollars, so there's...
And just to make things clear, though, isn't it true that in the reorganization of DOT allows, in that statute, or whatever it was, it allows the legislature to prioritize the expenditure of federal money in terms of projects if the legislature wishes to? Is that correct?
Well, I think it's more than the legislature wishes to. Generally, our capital budget submissions to you over the last couple of years have indicated projects by priority in regions. Mm-hmm. And we assume that when the legislature approves those projects in that capital improvements program, that is their priority list.
Yeah, absolutely. But, right, what I'm getting at is that we generally accept your recommendations since you got better information than we do on most of the stuff. But legally, we could rearrange those priorities, although we seldom do, but sometimes we do, but we could rearrange them, right? And the case is here, too. In other words, let's say that Randy Phillips thought that this $4.8 million for Eagle River Urban that's said here to be delayed until after for next year, essentially.
You just read my mind.
Maybe Randy Phillips thought that was something that ought to be pushed up for federal funds or at least state funds. We obviously have authority to do that. There's no question about that.
No, and that's true, and that's one that... That's near and dear to my heart because Randy keeps it there, and it has for a year now. And I would really like to see that one go, but there's no way that project's going to be built this summer, no matter how it's funded.
Well, that's
as unfortunate as it is.
And that's important to know. Which are all the ones that you have listed as federal can go this summer? Is that that true statement? Or there's some that will, even though you're going to say the federal money there, it won't be even started for next year?
The ones that we have listed in the backup for this.
As federal funds?
Yes. There will be projects under construction this year.
And how about the state money or the $26 million you're asking for?
They will be under contract this year, and most of them will have significant construction efforts starting.
Are there any that are in the three-star category that is delayed until next year that could go this year if the state would come up with the money?
The only one that has a possibility, and that's remote, is the Alaska Highway $11 million because of the...
Oh, that's the monument.
1235 to 1256, it all of a sudden is in the National Monument.
You
and we
get
have
the 4F
to do
designation, 4F statement, you can do that.
And the federal people are telling us that they will do their best to get that out in a very short order, but we have a record so far has been a year.
I think your judgment on that is correct. They're probably going to take much longer. I would hate to set aside that money for something and not utilize it this summer because of their slow ups. But well, then that makes it makes our job a little easier because a certain amount of these, if we had $71 million, we'd designate it for some of these projects, but they wouldn't be spent this summer in any case, correct? On most of those three-star projects, they would. Well, you're saying all of them except the last one. Not the Iowa one. They wouldn't be started this summer anyway, so we've got a year before almost a year before we really need to get that money out. Is that right?
That's true. And assuming, and we have to have right-of-way certification and utility agreements taken care of prior to submitting to the federal government for obligation authority. Mm-hmm. As soon as the right-of-way is certified on the Eagle River Urban, that project will give it to the federal government and ask them to obligate funds so we can advertise. As soon as they obligate or say that we can obligate the money, then we advertise. There's no way that I can see or that anyone else in my department can see that we can get right-of-way certified prior to the end of this summer. As soon as that is certified, if we do have new obligation authority, that'll be the first project that goes in.
Yeah. Kind of figured that was the problem, too, right away.
Are you saying
they're
not
going to
pave the whole road?
No, I didn't say that.
Because all those
what we're trying to do is
three-star.
Yeah, and
we don't administer that. That's one of the very few instances where the federal government does administer that program. They do their own construction supervisors on. And we anticipate, it's my understanding, that will be kept intact if you want to.
Okay, so I think what that means is that, I appreciate what you're doing. I think we have to make a determination before, we check off on this, whether or not, we really can't do anything about the ones that are listed as three-star, because they're not going to be underway this construction season anyway. But there is at least the potential for switching between the one-stars and the two-stars, that is, the federally funded or state-funded. I mean, it would at least be possible to say, well, let's fund the Sterling Highway with federal funds, and then put state funds into, Peters Creek Interchange, something like that, right? We could switch between those two, switch them around. I mean, the dollars would come out the same, it's just that.
Yeah. Now, just let me mention one thing that I haven't before that may have some bearing. On the Minnesota Extension project, we, in this list, as contrasted to this one, we have broken that into two phases. And so we're not asking on this list for the obligational authority for the full project. We're the base and paving. We're breaking into a separate phase, and we'll ask them so we can do that paving next year. They can get in this year and do the dirt work. Now, if we were to fund that with state funds, that portion of it, we'd fund the paving with state funds too. We couldn't go back and obligate that, because that particular section of road, we have, if we made the first commitment to go state funds, we'd go state funds until the project was complete.
Yeah.
That's the only one that I'm aware of in that would be in that same category.
I don't think anybody would have any problem with funding that one federal funds. I can't see where anybody.
And the reason we did do that way, Mr. Chairman, is to allow the Peters Creek Interchange to get into the $22
million. Well, I think the question is, Randy, for those of us in Central and for different people in different areas, whether or not, in terms of the allocation between federal and state money, because see, the thing that, stuff that said it's going to go state, it might not. We know that what's listed as federal would probably go, but whether or not the state's going to come up with the $26 million to do the rest of them, that's yet to be determined. They've got to weigh those priorities against other things in their capital budget and other requests. So, I think, we might want to have the caucuses look at these and decide whether or not they, I'm sure they'd likely agree, because most of it seems to make sense. But like, in the interior region, they've, Delta Junction is the only real big one there, 25 million. I don't even know what
these
would be.
I have one.
Jake?
One thing I just wanted to clarify. These decisions to cut back are decisions on the executive side. They're not congressional decisions, are they? In other words, Congress appropriated the money that was allocated to the state, and this is a decision on the executive side to drop to a lower level.
Yes.
Yeah.
You only got three votes, and so,
Randy, I just want to clarify this in my mind. You're saying, mine's all stapled together, this pack. You're saying the first page is right after Mr. Hanna's letter. That'll be funded by normal funding between federal and state.
Yes,
and then
these projects are those
ready to go this summer.
But, and they're those identified by the three asterisks on the regional list.
Right.
Except that this is just federal funds and not state funds.
And then this list right here, with the stars, the next three pages are questionable projects.
The single asterisk on those pages make up this list.
Oh, I see. Okay. So this is
the double asterisks are what we're recommending by state, and the triple asterisks are the ones we're recommending to resubmit after we new obligation report.
Commissioners, as you indicated, you can send this letter to Mr. Hanna and hopefully receive at least $22 million, maybe more, right? Maybe the 29. And if, for instance, we wanted, let's say the legislature decided not to come up with any funds because we just couldn't do it, and somebody decided that they would rather have the Sterling Highway done with federal money than they would the Peters Creek Interchange, I doubt that. Let's say that was the case, then we could shift that money to that other project. Is that possible?
Yes.
So we don't lose any options by the sending of this letter by any
means. Sure, don't lose many.
Don't lose many.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
The Minnesota one would be hard to shift.
Well, I don't think we want to shift the Minnesota one anyway. But that's from my region, so I feel at least from the House side, I feel like I could make that statement. But I think what needs to happen is that the caucuses need to look at this and make a determination. They pretty well know, we've got a special roads committee, and people pretty well know what's important to them. And they're going to find out eventually, right, that the project didn't go. And I think it's important that they have prior knowledge of it. But I really appreciate you, explaining this to us and the department that you've used here. And, I think you're the ones that you're asking for federal obligation authority after October 1st. That's a very good way of, obviously a good way of designating it. And the other priority, I think, makes pretty good sense, too. I'd like to just have a chance at sending this to the caucuses and see what they think. They may have one or two projects they'd like to shift up to federal funds if they're a little nervous about getting the other ones. Because it's so late in the session, we've got most of the money allocated, and they come up with 26, they might be nervous that they might not get it. Consequently, some people might want to shift them up. I don't know if that's true. One question on this North Girdwood Open, what's the importance of that? Why not use that 3.4 on something else?
Because that is a category within the trust funds, and it has to be for a railroad-type safety project.
Yeah, but we're using state money under this one. So why not use federal funds? That's what I'm...
Oh, the only problem is that then that...
That bumps something else.
Yeah, and it bumps something else in a different funding category.
Yeah. Well, but isn't it true that if you don't use federal funds for that, you might lose that amount of federal funds?
Yeah.
I mean, in that sense, isn't that what your note here says? That if the $3.4 million, if the state comes up with the money, that might not allow $3.4 million to go into some other project because they might lower your total authority by 3.4 because it comes from a different category. Am I correct?
It comes from a different category, but the 3.4 will still come off of the $29 million.
You subtract it from the 29 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, then you don't have 26 million.
So you'd be substituting that for another project
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Any questions from anyone?
I have one. I noticed here you have an asterisk on the Peters Creek Exchange and the Minnesota Bypass. It says funding of Peters Creek contingent upon the lease and amazing payment from Minnesota Bypass. Is that the one thing that got it?
No,
somehow I missed it.
Well, the total amount on the Minnesota Bypass, the anticipated amount, and obviously it hasn't been bid, but you notice on your multiple staple sheets was...
14-1?
Yeah. And so that's... And that's the... and we've cut that down to 13-4 to get the... to have more money available. So we broke that into another page, just the paving and the base. And we would bid that again as a separate contract.
I see.
So that we'd have additional money to go on the, and we thought we'd apply that additional money to the PHP Commission. So we'd get that.
Okay, I see.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you very much. Sorry.
Well, no. We'll probably submit this letter in the
paper. Yes, very good. At least one of them. I don't know about the other one.
What's the number?
Give me the numbers, Brian.
Okay, Senate Bill 394.
Pull it for me, will you?
It should be on everybody's desk. Then House Bill number 436 by Parr, and House Bill number 464 by Anderson. House Bill 436 and House Bill 464.
I got here, and you look at these two.
The retroactive provision means.
Okay, everybody got their bills now? That brings before us 394 amended, Brian?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Move that we add a new section 3, which includes all of House Bill number 436, and that the title be changed to an act relating to the Alaska Net Income Tax.
Oral, what do we got here? In other words, right now, when you file jointly as a married couple, you lose money, or you have to pay more in taxes than you would if you filing separately
as two individuals.
That's right. Weren't married. Yeah, I always thought that was pretty.
And this, in essence,
rectifies that.
Is that correct? Yeah. You're proposing that as an addition to the Senate bill.
Any objection?
Mr. Chairman, we also have another bill, House Bill number 464 by Anderson, and a number of members of this committee as co-sponsors. It relates to indexing of the state income tax. Right now, if inflation drives your wages up, you get kicked into a higher tax bracket. What this bill does is it moves the tax brackets up with inflation, so you stay at the same percentage, relatively. This, if we repeal the income tax, of course, this is not necessary. If we suspend it, I believe it's important that we continue that if we do index it for when it comes back in 4, 6, or 20 years. The co-sponsor.